Blog Talk Radio.
All right, let's go and get this show started, yeah? Beginning ready to go home and cook him some pecan pie. All right, Brother B, you and Brother House, we're going to get this show started.
Amen, amen. First of all, I want to say good evening to our sisters and brothers. You know, we're sure glad to be here. This and Brother Ernie again. I'm so glad my brother was able to make it. Brother Ernie, I'm sure he can't wait. Brother, I was here to go eat some pecan pie. Probably want to get some more of those leftovers for Thanksgiving. We want to tell God thank you for allowing us to have him. Blessed us to see another Thanksgiving with him and thanking him for what he's about to give us, which is nothing but just more and more knowledge, wisdom, and understanding of this game called racing. They call it grudge racing. We're so glad to have a friend such as Ernie to take out of his precious time to give to us. So with that, for long in the time, I've already taken up too much. I'm asking my brother if he would bless the service, bless the show. I'm sorry that we would have the Lord to come in and continue to shine on Brother Ernie. Brother Tim, if you will.
Yes, sir. It is a pleasure and an honor, Brother D. Thank you so much. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just come before you saying thank you for this day. Thank you for being our God. And thank you, Lord God, for this show. We ask that you continue to bless Brother Ernie. We ask that you would strengthen him, keep him in his right mind, Lord God, and we just ask that you would just pour your blessings on him, touch him with the fingertip of love, Lord God, smile upon him and his family, Lord God. And, Lord, we just ask that you would continue to keep his family in good health, bless them and keep them, Lord. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just ask that you would continue to bless his business and that it would be prosperous, and that it would be all that he's dreamed it to be. We ask that, Lord God, that you would allow it to be, as I said before, prosperous, but he could get to see the fruit of his labor. And, Father God, we thank you for filling him with wisdom and understanding. Now, Lord, we just ask that you continue to pour into him and as he pours into us. And we are so grateful that we would hear and understand and appreciate him taking the time out of his busy schedule to look after us and help and educate us. We thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for this show. Continue to bless. In Jesus' name, amen. Back to you, Brother D or Dog.
All right. Let me get ready to get this thing started. Thank y'all for coming on. Brother Warrior, you stand by for your appetizer. Good day.
CompuCar Nitrous Oxide Systems, bringing back your Monday night fights, I guess that's what I call it, services. I like that, services. That sounds a lot better than TikTok. But, okay. So let's get our people out of the way. We got Silverback Streams for your IPTV needs. Don Kennedy, Race Car Insurance, Renegade Racing, Daytona 1, Performance Petroleum Products, FTI Transmissions down in Florida, Don Kennedy Race Car Insurance. You got to have that in the wintertime too, guys. You know, you going down to Florida, there's people following you to steal your stuff. So you need to make sure your stuff is insured and either get, well, you need the insurance and a tracker. In case some of it does get borrowed, at least you can go find out where it's at. So if you need tracking service, give me a call. We carry it at CompuCar. Okay, well, news this week. What's going on last week? Compressed gases or air gas is probably what most of you know it by. It's decided in their infinite wisdom that they don't want to be messed with the small racer. You've got to have a business. It's got to be delivered to you. You've got to pay their ridiculous charges. You've got to pay hazardous material. You've got to pay all this stuff. And then they may not even deliver it to you. So most of the people I've been talking to about air gas has all had the same feeling that I do. Go somewhere else. You know, you have to put up with that corporate greed that they're trying to push. There's too many other companies out there that can supply it to you. Same, if not cheaper, and with a whole lot better attitude. I mean, you know, we go through 3,000 to 5,000 pounds a month. And if we were doing with air gas, and I just got tired of their attitude. You know, I'm not your biggest customer. I know that. But, you know, when I'm buying as much as I'm buying from you, I'm probably one of, other than whipped cream manufacturer, I was probably one of the largest users. At least you ought to get respect. And, no, they can't do that. It's all gotten to be corporate crap. So they did go up again. So, like I say, we're still where we have been. We've been holding the price line pretty much most of this year. And, you know, looks like if everything goes right, it'll be same as it was next year. So pay attention. You know, we got to start getting our stuff ready. Got to get it serviced. Don't just put it up and forget about it and then roll it out and try to get it done. You'll end up skipping over everything that should be done. So make your list, get your whiteboard, write it down so you can make sure that you're paying attention to everything, wipe it off or mark it out, and make it happen. Okay, had an interesting conversation today on one of the back lines. And could you put a small block timing chain on a Buick motor? Can you? Well, Buick Motors got a taller cam center line. That ain't going to fit, is it? See, that's the problem with most racers today. You get a catalog, and it says, here's a piece that you got to have. It's this crankshaft and these rods and this other stuff, and you put together a motor. You're putting together a cookie-cutter motor that 9,000 other people have already done. Back in the day, and it is still going on today, but back when Dog and I was originally racing, there was very few places you could get. You didn't get a competition cams. You call Warshawski or one of those companies and they sold you a three-quarter race cam or a full race cam or anything like that. Totally, you know. If the guys that were really going fast were taking stuff and making it fit, can you put a small block timing chain on a big block Buick? Hell yeah. You crank it up in a lathe. You turn it down to the size you need it. You index the key to where it's supposed to go. You look in the book and you get a longer chain, and guess what? They don't make a timing chain for that combination that per se high performance, but you know, you can build one yourself. The whole idea is build it yourself. That's how you find out does it work or does it don't. Most people today are racing out of their wallet. Very little initiative. You know, you got Phil Schuler, you got Steve Fast, and you got these other guys that are super great. And they are always outside the box. Do you know why they're so good? Because they're always outside the box. They're not looking to see what somebody else is doing. They pay attention to what other people are doing. But they stay outside the box. Where can I massage another horsepower? Where can I get another model out? Where can I reduce stuff? You can buy it. Yes, you can. But who developed it? Somebody developed it 4 or 5 years ago. So you order a camshaft today? Yeah, you can order a brand new camshaft. That design could be 10 years old. Is it going to work in today's car? Absolutely, just like it did 10 years ago. Now, if you learned about camshaft, intake, duration, overlap, all this other stuff, you can get them to grind you one. It doesn't cost that much to get a camshaft ground. You can actually get a camshaft ground to your specifications. They'll issue a part number to it, and nobody can buy it but you. That's how these other small camshaft companies do business. They don't grind their own camshafts. You may find one or two that do, but on the average, they hire big crankshaft, I mean, get big camshaft companies to come in there and take their information, put a number on it, and you're going to be bought through Joe's Speed Shop. Okay. Somebody took the time to design the camshaft. That's the guy that's going to be going faster. Now, let's get to talk about driving a race car. It was a nice race going down in South Georgia this weekend. And white car and a black car. Boy, the black car left, just gone. And then he decides he wants to go out there and cut donuts in the middle of the track.
It was at, it wasn't there at South Georgia. It was at Orangeburg, right?
I wouldn't even want to say the racetrack. But it was the Orangeburg guys. Do y'all want to know who the driver cutting the donuts in the middle of the track was? Tell me what happened, though.
It's your story. You tell it. Everybody tell their own story.
Well, when I saw you left good, and it just lost traction. And, I mean, it lost it quick. And then it was just, you long for the ride. Luckily, you stayed in the middle of the track and you didn't hit the wall. That's the way you always want things to happen. If things are going to go bad, don't hit the wall. Because that's when you tear stuff up. Was it something on the car, dog, or something on the track?
We found out it was something on the track, honey. It was something on the track, but you know it is. I just said, if you went back and I know if you seen it, which I was gonna send you the video, but evidently I was gonna let you put it on the big screen and let you see, because you go, you know how you do slide by slide. You ought to see the rear end washed out. So if the rear end washed out, it had to be something besides spinning tires, because if it was just gonna spin tires, it was spent straight and just smoke would have came off the tires, honey.
Oh yes, it appeared that the left side, there was just nothing there, and it just powered itself around. I like if you got a good video on it, send it to me, and I'll blow it up to see if we can see something on the track. But
they found out it was some oil on the track. Top of the fact, though, but you know, like you said, the main thing is no harm, no foul.
Yeah, you know. Pay attention to the track, guys. How hard do you pay attention to the track? You know, you watch what's happening. You watch them clean up. Obviously, nobody saw it get oil on the track, but something happened somewhere. And then when you roll into the beam, it don't matter what it is. You claimed it at your race. Thank goodness nobody was hurt and no cars were damaged at the filming of that pass. Maybe some pride, but that's okay. That'll heal. Well, Dal, what you got going tonight?
Nothing but my pride? My pocketbook, don't mind, took my money, though. Other than that, though, I mean, I'm all good. It's all good, honey. It's all good. I sent you the picture now, so I want you to go ahead and see what you can see on it there. I sent you the video. Big House, you got something for Big Ernie? Big House, you got something for Big Ernie?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Ernie. Thank you. I got a question for you, Ernie.
Yes, sir.
The new cars out here now, You know, I don't know, maybe somebody's already asked him, but, you know, when race cars out there, they got one big gigantic coil or a magneto. Why the new cars got individual coils for every cylinder, and is that beneficial? What's the pros and cons on that, Ernie?
Is it beneficial? Yes. It's a lot hotter spark. You don't have a distributor cap. You don't have all that wear and tear in the distributor and getting off. But it all backs up to about 2011, somewhere in that range, when the manufacturers got away from wiring a car to combust, and you got all these body modules. So a combust is just it sending radio signals and talking back and forth to all these other computers in the car. So they don't have to run all those wires that they used to run, so they're saving money. So, and it can be more precise. So when you change it over into a racing situation, you know, you've got the LS motors, which, you know, coil-on spark plug stuff, works great. You can buy a distributor kit for those things. They're expensive as the dickens. But you can put the MSD adapter on there, plug it right into your MSD, fire it up. If you got a laptop, you can program everything, and you're good to go. The manufacturer spends a lot of money on R&D, and on the LS motors, you know, I keep going back to LS motors because that's pretty much the staple and what everybody's looked at. You know, they're now made, you know, 6-bolt main, steel cranks, good rods, forged pistons, decent camshafts. I mean, they got to be. They're making 600 horsepower stock. Change a few pieces, you got 1,000 horsepower. Add a few pieces, you got 2,000 horsepower. And it lives. You know, it's a 6-bolt main steel crank. You know, you could never get that before. And 6-bolt right. main, you're going to have a rigid puppy. That's the main thing. And can you get a hotter spark? Yes, you can. You can go to the MSD, go to the, well, I ain't sure the grid's going to give you out. You can go to the big magnetas and all this other stuff that really supply a lot of amperage to fire. And that's what it takes to fire in a wet cylinder is amperage, not voltage. But then you're going to end up with all these other problems. The advantages of having the individual coils where you can set the timing and you can move everything around, and it just, once you get used to it, it's straightforward and simple and easy to detect, and you can download all the information and go, yes, there it is, versus a distributor or magneto that it gives you all this splatter and RF, and then you got to, well, is the coil bad or not? Well, if you got 8 coils and you got one that ain't firing, probably a good chance you got a bad coil. distributors, you got to kind of guess. It's better today than it has been. It's just, it says taking us more time to get used to it. Back to you, sir.
Well, thank you, Ernie. Appreciate it, because I see it on them coils up there. I said, really, is that really better or not? Because we got these big old coils from, you know, MSDs and all that. And I just said, well, we got one for the big race cars, you know, and then you got all these for the LS motor. So, yeah, I was just wondering. So, yeah, thank you. I appreciate that.
A lot of stuff that has developed and comes out, and this is the new and the greatest and the wonderfulest stuff. I was helping a friend, 25, 30 years ago. He had a motorcycle. Boy, he ordered all this MSD stuff, put it on there, and it, at night it looked good. It cranked up. It ran good. And I got to looking at the part numbers on it, and I said, you know, damn, that looks familiar. And I went over to a dual-cylinder lawnmower, a Briggs & Stratton, that had that same coil on it. You know what the difference was? $70 a piece.
Oh, man.
Sometimes the color is what makes you faster. You know?
Mama.
MSD does make some nice stuff. They've got some wonderful engineering. But all in all, sometimes it's finding what will work with your combination and using that. The crank trigger pickups, you can, you know, you order MSD, those things are, what, $9,500 a piece, even more. That's just a standard pickup piece. It just creates a halo effect and an impulse. You can get those things all over the place. $20, $15. You really shop hard, you might be able to find them for $10, $12. They're used in all kinds of different applications. You just got to get the one and here again, do the test and tune. Does this crank up? Does this work? Will that fit your bracket? And if it does, okay. You saved a lot of money. And you can carry some spares. And carrying spares is where you make extra money at the racetrack, because if somebody's got a bad pickup, they'll buy a pickup. Back to you, sir.
All right, well, don't go nowhere, TM, because you already got some noise, but I don't know that y'all be on. Somebody said, Ernie, if you leave a while off them cars, you can really mess up some stuff, because the computer is telling you to keep signing, you might burn up some stuff or burn a piston. I don't understand what they mean. That's why I like getting to hit the one, but you know anything about that?
Well, if you don't hook a wire up on a direct coil, the only thing you're going to have is a cylinder that's not firing properly. It's almost impossible not to hook it up. I mean, it hangs on the valve cover, and it kind of dangles down there. Now, if you didn't get it on there good, you can have a bad spark going to your spark plug and reduce the amperage, and that can cause that cylinder to run rich. As far as hurting a motor, not so much. It just gives you a, just like having a foul spark plug. It's not going to kill your motor. You're still going to have an injector running, and you're going to pump it out through the exhaust manifold. It's just not going to light at all and burn properly. Back to you.
Okay, well, Ernie. All right, well, going to when you just said that, and I'm talking about myself, what is the problem with a car that you have to doggone try to crank it at least damn 10 times for the file? What's going on with that, Ernie? I need to find out what's going on. I have to turn it over. I have to try to crank it doggone 10 times before it ever fires. Once it fires up good once it fires up. But what's going on, Ernie?
Okay, first thing I'm going to look at is the weather, the temperature. And the colder the temperature, the less the fuel will vaporize. It'll stay liquid. It'll run down the cylinders. First thing it's going to do is we'll foul the spark plugs. So you need to be spinning the motor over. And while you're spinning it over, you know, give it a couple of taps on the throttle and then get your foot off the throttle and then light it, you know, turn on the ignition while it's spinning. Then you've got fuel that has gotten in the cylinders and you're going to light. If you load the cylinder up to begin with before you crank and put heat in the motor, now you've got raw fuel setting in the motor and it's going to flood the spark plugs. So it's probably more in the way you're cranking than anything else. Back to you.
So I've been cranking it the same way and it ain't been no problem. Now all of a sudden I'm cranking it and it's the way I'm cranking it now.
I would say that's probably what the problem is the fuel. You know, here again, they can change the additives in fuel. They can change it at what point it evaporates. Anymore, it's not that you've been doing it all your life and now you got a problem. It's no, now you have a problem. Did somebody change something? But the first thing I would look at, most problems I see people having problems, backfires in the pits, cranking the car up, coughing, usually due to a cold motor and cold fuel. Back to you, sir.
All right. Ernie, if you crush your headers, if you crush them, you know, sometimes you can crush them when you go up for a wheelie. Sometimes you can crush them just because you want to make room for it. If you're going to crush your header, what's the downfall of crushing a header, Ernie?
Anytime you crush a header, majority of headers are pretty much set up to have equal flow through the pipe.
Uh-huh.
When you crush a header, I mean, you're beating it in, you're reducing the outside diameter, and you're also keeping it from, you're reducing it from being a round pipe to an oblong pipe. The flow of the exhaust gases through those restrictions can create some major problems. It can create harmonics in that exhaust system that will actually affect the way the engine runs. So you may have too much back pressure there. It doesn't get all out. The next time it opens up, you get exhaust gas back into the intake. You know, so if you do a wheel stand and you come down and you crush your headers, usually that is crushed pretty damn flat. You can cut them off and you can put new extensions on them and be ready to go. But usually on a normal installation, it's either to clear the starter or clear the steering box.
Mm-hmm.
Or clearing the spark plugs so you can get to the spark plugs with the header zone. If you're going to do that, take you a piece of round metal. You know, like a piece of, let's say a piece of 1-inch steel rod. Put it where you want it, and then when you tap it in, it's going to give you a round piece in there. It's not going to be a bunch of dents, or it's not going to be a crush section. It's going to be kind of rounded. If you have to clear your steering box, you know, is there another way you can? Can you get another steering box? Can you move the steering box? If you can't and you got to put a dent in that, here again, kind of follow it, or you cut a section out of the header so it clears it, you can turn that piece back around and weld it back in place. It makes a nice little recess cup to go right around the piece. The main thing is trying to keep the exhaust free from major restrictions. When you're running a front exit, side exit header, you have restrictions anyhow. Are you going to have problems? No, it's because they're so short. And you can't get long tube headers in a car anymore. Maybe I ought to go back to the fender well exits like we used to have on the Chevy 2s and the 55s and stuff like that. Yeah, those look nice. They work good too. But the cars have gotten so low, you don't have room to get the exhaust gas away from the motor. That's why they're going to the side exit. Back to you, sir.
Okay, I think KLC might have got some on them calls. KLC, you got some on them calls? KLC.
Yes, sir. Hey, dog. Yeah.
How you doing?
To the best of my knowledge, the smart coils, if you leave those unplugged, say, for example, if you got a FuraTech system or a Holley, the coil will burn up. And there's a different type of coil. If you use a different type of coil, CDI or something like that, other than not the smart coils, I've seen with my own eyes, not mentioning any names, but the spark plug wire was just laying on a spark plug, and a piston was burnt due to that. And I cannot explain to you why that happened, but it was for that reason.
Was the piston burnt, a hole in it, or was it ringland lifted, crushed, backsided?
It was torched along the outer edges of the piston.
Okay. Usually when you see one torched on the outer edge of the pistons, that's from being too rich. And a loose coil wire is going to cause that. Because you are, especially on motors that you're running big injectors, you don't have a coil wire in there and it's just getting a real weak spark. You're going to flood that motor. And when it goes beside that piston, you're going to detonate it. It's going to torch the piston down the side. Normally, a lean piston is going to sink the center of the piston. If you see broken eyebrows around the intake area right there by the sleeve. That's all detonation. That's from being too rich. That's what causes that. I mean, we've moved ring lands up, down, different widths, different thicknesses, and we end up finding out that, hey, if you just make the combination right, it works. But, you know, it's not saying that you can't have problems with coils. And some of these coils, if they're really hot and they don't have a way to discharge the heat because they are heat sinked. Not saying it can't happen. I'm just saying it's just unusual. Electronics is really some weird stuff, especially when they get into the radio frequencies. You can screw stuff up in a heartbeat.
I'm sure, like, somebody like Ricky can explain it a little bit better than me, I seen them burn up both ways. It depends on the coil.
Yeah.
Well, like Ronnie said, if it wasn't hooked up right, it would make it go rich, we'll do that. He said that when he answered the question. He said that.
You know, it can all kind of, like I say, this, the electronics today are so sensitive to what we're having in the race cars. It used to be you had to worry about having a generator noise in your radio. You put a capacitor in it. Now they've got capacitors, diodes, and a bazillion other things in there to run everything. And welding is another thing that will burn your electronics up. You know, we talked about that, I think, last week. You start building a frequency, and that goes into that wire, and it goes in there and screws your electronics up. Cranked up when you brought it in there and did welding on it, and it don't crank up. You replace the box. Send it back to MSD, and they'll send it back to you and say, couldn't find anything wrong with it, but it'll crank up when you get it back. Back to you, Doug.
Okay. All right, Cal. Appreciate it, Cal.
Thank you, Cal. Yes, sir.
Yeah, wheelie controls on it. Do the wheelie controls work on the RPMs or the timing? Explain the wheelie controls on it. Explain wheelie controls.
The wheelie controller that we use has a laser that shoots down to the track. It measures the distance from the track to the controller. When, let's say we're going to give it a foot, you put the jack on the center of the car, you jack it up, measure your foot underneath the tire. Okay, we're going to activate the first part of the control, which is going to take timing out of the motor. And then we're going to lower it down to 6 inches, and we're going to hit the second button, and that's where we're going to put the timing back into the motor. Hook it up, wire it up. You leave, it'll go out there, and if it starts to do a wheelie, as soon as it passes that threshold, that 12 inches, it's going to activate your MSD, your timing. It's going to pull timing out of the motor. When you pull timing out of the motor, you pull torque out of the motor. Then now it doesn't have the torque to lift the front of that car and keep carrying it out. So it's going to start lowering it back down. As it starts coming back down and it gets to the 6-inch point, it's going to put that timing back in there and says, okay, we can run now. Well, if the car comes back up and gets out there again, it'll pull it out again. And it can do this 100 times a second. So it's not something that the driver will ever feel. It's just it left, it went out there, and it hung out there and just went down the track. And like I say, 12 inches, you come down, you're not going to hurt anything. 12 feet, you're going to hurt stuff. And that's the way our wheelie controller works. It's a timing retard controlled by a laser. So it's dead on every time. And all we have to do is we mount them under the passenger side front tire with a clear shot to the track surface. And that way it can tell the distance, clear view, no problems. Back to you, sir.
Now, Ernie, what if you got it hooked up on a timing, at a certain timing, or hooked up on a certain RPM, and then what if it just say you got it instantly hooked up at a certain RPM or a certain time? Because I'm trying to, I don't know how to explain it, but what if you got one and it instantly comes about the ground and you got it hooked up where it don't pull to come on yet, though? So what's going to happen then? What's going to happen then? Because I've seen that happen this past weekend.
When we wire ours up, we wire ours up that it, so it is control. Uh-huh. Once you activate the nitrous solenoid, it puts power to the unit instantly. So
what if you ain't got nitrous?
You've activated
what if you ain't got nitrous, huh?
Okay.
What if you,
if you don't
nitrous?
Have nitrous? Okay, or do you have a trans brake? If you have a trans brake, we're just going to come off of your trans brake, and we're going to feed another relay and let it be controlled by that. You're going to go in, you're going to mat it to the floor. When you turn the trans brake loose, it activates your wheelie controller, controls the car instantly. The main thing is if you catch it soon enough, you don't let it get high enough, you know, over height, and then it doesn't take but just little bits of control to let the car hang out there. Now, we've had one fellow that said he drove right through the AWAC controller at 6 degrees.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Put 8 degrees in it.
That was the next question, honey. That was the next question. How much do you knock out of it, honey? That was the next question.
We start off at 6 degrees. If you think your car is leaving so violent, you want to control it more, all right, pull out 8 degrees. You know, it's just going to make it less of a torque hit leaving the start line, because once it picks the tires up, it's automatically saying, no, you're not going there. It's like lowering your timing from 30 degrees to 22 degrees. That's 8 degrees. Pow, take that. And if you ever made a pass setting your timing wrong, you will know that you just took the guts out of that motor. It can't make that kind of power. And finding that out, now you got an easy way to control it. Now, we did I've told you about the engine we did up at Son of Leonard's. Timed it like it's supposed to, made the pull, 1,137 horsepower, put the timing back 10 degrees, made a pass, another pull on it, 800 and change in horsepower. Torque levels really fell off. All right. That right there shows me as long as we can control the timing, we can control the car, because the timing controls the amount of torque that you're putting to the tires. Back to you, sir.
All right. So, Ernie, basically you said once it come on at a certain height, once it get below that height, it automatically just put the timing back in it? That's how it works?
Yes, absolutely. Puts the timing back in it. As you go out, if it tries to pick it back up, like you see some of these turbo cars picking it up and pick it up again, it doesn't matter how many times you want to pick it up. If you clear that threshold, it's going to pull that timing out. And that's going to – and we've got guys with turbos that are running them. It's not a problem. It just controls their wastegate, and they take off and have fun. Back to you, sir.
All right, Ernie, when you say I burnt my starter up, is what you mean? The starter got too hot, or the starter wore out, or the solenoid just ain't clicking out, or what? When you say I burnt my starter up, because I've been turning that old starter over a mighty few times, and it was hot to the touch.
Know,
it was too hot to touch.
When everybody says your starter is bad, first, okay, I burnt the starter up. Where did that come in at? You know, I really have no idea. The starters have always been decent motors, you know, graphite based, and now that we've got these high torque Mitsubishi type starters, they spin over faster, they got more torque, so they crank the motor up better. But you got bushes in there, brushes, and those brushes make contact with the rotor in there. If they wear down too much, or they get bent, hang on something, get a chip in, it can make the starter not work. A loose wire can make the starter get hot. And I burnt the starter up, usually it's more I tore the starter up. Because when you activate your starter, it pulls, it energizes a coil that pulls the starter dog back, and there's a clapper in there that when it pulls it back, it turns on the starter at the same time. So that puts the pinion gear into the flywheel, and now it spins over. It's all microsecond type stuff. It's pretty quick. That clapper closing is usually not the problem. It's when you turn that switch off, and now that amperage is separating from the supply, and it's like getting a stick welder going in there, and you just put a little spot on that washer in there. Enough carbon spots, it can't make contact. People say you can't rebuild them. Dog, you've been at the shop, I've rebuilt them, it doesn't matter. Hell, take them apart, clean them up, polish them back down, make them nice and smooth, put them back together, use it as your spare, and you're good to go. When you tear your other one up, bring it back in, we fix it, put your old one back on, and now you got another spare. There's nothing there that you can't repair or replace. You can get the teeth for the new pinion gear. There's two different types. You got the spline shaft, and then you got the little lock ring that goes in on the end of the nose. So you got to make sure which starter you're running. That's the only two types that there are. Where you have to replace that whole shank with a gear, or you just undo the clip on the end, and then you slide the gear off, put a new one in, put the clip back in. Back to you, sir.
All right, still on starters, honey. It seems like a simple question, but it is something. Is it the same thing as a big block starter and a small block starter?
What's yes, there is. And there's a high torque and a standard starter. Now, as far as what are they're the same piece, but your big block high performance starters, the way that instantly you can tell if you've got one. If you're using a new starter today, it doesn't matter. They're all high torque, 2.5 horsepower DC motors. But in the older stuff, the high performance starters, the starter lead that came out, instead of coming out about 3/4 back of the starter, it came out to the end of the starter because that was a high torque. It had more wiring in it, and it was stronger. It had more horsepower. But here again, like I say, in today's world, you index a starter, you put it up, you got your two bolts. Are they straight across? Are they staggered? That's pretty much your only choices. Well, you got the different pinion gear, and that's dependent on which flywheel you have. You got 168 tooth, and I think it's 150 teeth, 130, something like that. There's two different flywheels on Chevrolets. So you got to make sure that you got the right flywheel with the starter that you're running. Back to you, sir.
You still ain't told me the difference between a big block and a small block. That's what I asked you. You still ain't told me what the difference.
Okay.
Can you use the same starter on a small block as you do a big block and vice versa? That's what I want to know.
Yes, as long as the nose on the standard starter, the standard GM starter, they have an exposed nose and they have a covered nose. The covered nose.
Normally, now, we talking about race cars now, Ernie. They normally don't have a nose on the race car.
All right.
Yeah.
The new high torque starters, you can small block, big block, Ford, it don't matter. They've got the bolt holes in them and you can index them if your solenoid hits something or get little headers. You can just undo them, twist them around a little bit, tighten them back up. And they will interchange with no problem. Like I say, they're all 2.5 horsepower DC motors. Gear driven. Back to you, sir.
Well, okay. All right. That answered that question. All right. Going back to them, Ernie, they still was about them hood scoops. You say it ain't no difference. Some people say it's a difference, but is it a difference, Ernie?
The only difference is going to be, do you have the carburetor sealed to the scoop? If you have the carburetor sealed to the scoop, yes, that's going to make a difference. But if it's not, you're pulling all that hot air from the headers all up into the carburetor, and you're getting some cooling effect, but not enough to make up for 1,100 degree header temperatures. You know, so if you don't do it 100%, now if you don't have hood clearance, you know, above your carburetor, you need at least 4 inches. And it needs to have free access to air. So if you don't have at least 4 inches above where you're going, you need to open it up, put a scoop in there so you can get the air drawing it from outside, you know, outside the hood, literally so it don't draw a vacuum on itself. Back to you, sir.
Okay. I got you. Now, Ernie, how can you tell whether or not you are whether you, in your descriptor cap, you know, that little thing with the little thing that stick out. How can you tell if it's not fine like it's supposed to fine? How can you tell? The rotor thing.
Okay, you got the your rotor in there, and then you got the post coming down for each cylinder. The rotor, mm-hmm. when you take the rotor out, first thing you want to look at is there's a wide, probably about a 1 inch wide brass spring, brass bronze spring that goes up and makes contact with the bottom of the distributor.
Right.
You want to look at that and see, do you have a nice clean ring there, or is it mm-hmm. all peppered up? If it's peppered mm-hmm. up, that means that the spring is not making good contact with the cap. If you look in the cap, there's a little graphite pin that sticks down, and it's spring loaded. Well, if that spring gets too low, it can't make contact. And it happens a lot because when you're taking these distributor caps on and off, you tend to want to push down on them a little bit. It don't take you, like, this is real lightweight spring stuff. And you get it to where it doesn't make good contact, the car starts running rough, you get stuttering, you can get backfires, all kind of problems. Once we've figured out, okay, that's good, then we're going to want to go look at the other end, the rotor piece that goes around there and fires to each cylinder. We want to look at the edge of that. Where is it firing? Is it firing on the leading edge in the center or on the back edge of your rotor, that white blade? That's telling you whether you actually have your timing set right. If your timing hasn't been phased, you look into the distributor cap to the 8 points that are coming down, and you'll start seeing a big buildup on the outside edge. That means that the spark is firing backwards in the cap, and it's catching that back edge. When they're firing right, they're going to be firing right in the middle of that post instead of to the front or back of it. So that your distributor cap tells you a lot. Your rotor button tells you a lot. When you replace them, replace both of them. Don't just put a new cap on and leave the button. Put both on. Just make that a habit. That way that you're not going to be putting a good piece possibly on a bad piece. And I know you got 8 spark plug wires and 1 coil wire. God almighty, how are you going to change them over and get them where they ought to go? Think ahead. Get your magic marker. And on the spark plug wire, right there at the coil, you see where number one is? That's right there where the hole is in the cap. That's the number one tower. Make sure your number one wire goes to that tower. Mark your firing order, 18436572, on all the wires, unless you've got swapped camshafts, and then you're going to make those changes. All right, then you just take the wires off, put the new cap in place, give me your spark plug with number one, goes right there, 18436572, coil wire, you're good to go. And remember, your coil wire gets 8 times the abuse as your spark plug wires do. Because it's firing for every cylinder. So make sure you pay attention to your spark plug, to your coil wire, more than you do anything else. Now, if you got your spark plug wires laying on your headers, yeah, that's not a good thing. You're going to get a burnt wire and it's going to arc to ground. But your coil wire, if you've got your coil inside the car, make sure the hole going through the firewall has a rubber insulator on it so it cannot rub on the wire. And you say, well, it's big enough hole, it goes through there real good, it's okay. No, it's not. If that hole is drilled, it's got raw edges in it, just like a razor blade. Vibrations of that car going down the road, going down the interstate, bouncing on the trailer, can cut that wire. All you got to do is cut the skin of that wire, and now it starts arcing the ground. Now you're running around in circles trying to figure out why your car either don't want to crank up or breaking up under a high load. Make the hole bigger, get the right insulator, put it into place, and then put the coil wire through it. Nice, simple. Probably cost you $2.50 for the bushing to go in there, a little rubber bushing, and you're done. Back to you, sir.
Hold on, man. We want to back up about this thing, about this little scoop. Let me see what he's talking about. Cal City, what about this scoop you talking about from 910 to 903? You heard me talk about that scoop stuff, whatever y'all talking about.
But yeah,
Cal. I know what he's talking about as far as having it sealed and unsealed. I ran an unsealed scoop running ET quarter mile time, like 910, and I decided to seal it off. After running it almost a whole season, and it went instantly to 903, my ET.
Yeah. You're getting cooler air into the motor. You're getting a lot of hot air, you know, away from the carburetor. It's just that much, you know, better than everything. Hold on just a second. Okay. But, how do you know your hood scoop's sealed up good? Take a flashlight. Stick it in the hood scoop, look up underneath the fender well. Do you see light? If you see light, your hood scoop ain't sealed up. Yeah, you should not be able to see any light. And here again, you got to be careful. Make your plate that you're putting on your carburetor to seal it to the hood, make sure it's made out of thick enough material so that when you put the foam rubber around it and you put the hood on it, that it doesn't push that plate down and lock your throttle linkage on. You're not going to find that till you're half to three-quarter track, and you go let off and the car keeps on going straight. Don't cut back on that. I'd rather see you use 125 thousandths, and preferably some good rigid, if you're going to use aluminum, some good rigid aluminum that doesn't have the flex. If you just get a sheet of aluminum, cut you out a pan, stick it in there, look how easy you bent it just trying to bake it. You put any force against it, it's going to go right down on your throttle linkage. Bad news. Make it rigid. Use good aluminum. Even if you go a quarter of an inch, that's going to be plenty thick, plenty strong, out of everything. And what's it going to add to the weight of a car? Half a pound. Is that really going to affect your performance? If a half a pound is going to affect your performance, go to the bathroom before you make a pass. Okay? You just took more than a half a pound off. Back to you, Doug. Yeah, you don't.
Yeah.
You with me?
Ernie, you there? Yeah. I mean, I thought you told me to go to the bathroom. I was going to the bathroom. I was just joking. Now, Ernie, with this here, when it's getting dark quick, I mean, 6 o'clock, it's dark, does the temperature and the humidity make that much difference on a car now? Does that make more power, less power, more water, or what? Ernie, talk to me about that right quick for a minute.
Oh, the dew point changes dramatically. If you've got some high humidity, it's going to turn into dew, and it's going to condense on your car. It's going to condense on the track. And the speed that the temperatures change is going to mean that it's going to affect it faster, because it's going to condense the moisture in the air on that part sooner now because of the dissimilar temperatures. So, yeah, wintertime makes a big difference on how much moisture is on your car. Now, a trick on your windshield. You can put a blanket over it. You can do all this other stuff. You can hear again your shield on your helmet. You can put all kind of stuff on it. They make all kind of things. Here's a little trick my wife used to do for me. Loved it. So simple. On your windshield, get you one of those cheap hair dryers. Lay it up on the dash. Plug it in. When it ain't running up there, drop it in your helmet. That's it.
What you going to plug it in there? What you going to plug it into?
Well, you've got electricity at the track. Get your windshield warm before you go out. Get your helmet warm before you go out. And in the winter, in
could
the summertime,
could you hook it to a switch or something, like, and turn it on if you want? Could you hook it to one of your switches in the car and use a switch button on it?
Yeah, they make a 12-volt hair dryer. It don't have to produce a lot of heat. All you got to do is just a little bit. But another trick is during the summertime when it's really hot, open your helmet up, put it over an air conditioning vent. Go ahead and pre-cool your helmet before you put your head in it. Oh, that makes a big difference in the summertime.
Yeah.
Back to you, sir.
Okay. All right. Well, Ernie, we close enough. So you know you like to do long closeout. So we got about 5 minutes to go. You can talk. Tell us some history. Go ahead and close out since you take so long.
Yeah. You know, it's Thanksgiving's coming on. Hey, thank goodness it's gone. It was enjoyable to see everybody. Christmas is on the way. Okay, we got to get the Christmas done for the kids. And then we got to go racing, guys. Yeah, if you're going to do that winter circuit down in Florida, boy, they got some big races going down there. And if you're from, you want to get away for a couple of weeks, that's a good place to go down there and do it. So just pay attention to the track, the weather. Pay attention to the weather, you know, tornadoes. Come on now. Tornadoes in November, almost December. Yeah, it's screwed up weather. All right, guys. If I can help you, give me a call. If you need parts, pieces, equipment, give me a call. I got it. You need an anti-wheelie controller, I got it. If you need a carburetor fix, we can fix it. And give us a call at 1-800-648-7687. 1-800-NIVERS.
All of the above. Everything he said, he doesn't fix mine. All of the above.
And fuel pumps. We fix fuel pumps.
Yeah. Yep,
all of the
that
above.
Too. That too.
We do. There ain't much on a race car that I can't fix. So, you know, definitely be able to, if I can help you. Some stuff is just cheaper to replace it, but fuel pumps are expensive. Repairing them is not that bad unless you have let them get bad. And you wrap a shop rag around your fuel pump because it was leaking fuel out the weep hole. Okay, that means you ate up the bearing. That means you ate up the shaft. And now you got to decide whether you're going to replace it or repair it. But we do that also. So if we can help you to end that stuff, let me know. Don Kennedy, Race Car Insurance. Get your cars insured. Get your trailers insured. You know, they're sitting around, whether you got them in a storage yard or in your garage or at your house. If they get stole, at least you're going to get paid for it. You know, Silverback Streams for all your IPTV needs. And Don, I said, well, Don Kennedy, I got to write these things down one of these days. You know that?
Quit mumbling.
Renegade Racing Fuels, Daytona 1 Performance Petroleum Products, and Lawyer Man. Back to you, dog. Talk to y'all later.
Okay.
Love you.
Appreciate it. Same to you, big man. We holler. Have a good one. Well, if y'all know, everybody, I noticed all the shows was, they took a holiday break. I ain't take no break. Should have took me a break. I'm going to be quiet. Let me, hold on. I got to find my music I want to play for the prayer guys.
Change gonna come. Good evening, my sisters and my brothers. As Dog like to call it, the appetizer. And we're only here to give you a few moments of God's word or some form of God's word, whether it be through an inspirational speak, just biblical term. But it's all based upon what thus says the Lord. Bro, Tim, get ready. I got one little verse I want to give him, and I'm going to get him out of the way. I want to give him a verse here. And I think we should start to pattern ourselves after it. I think man should live by it. It makes things so much better for man. It's the book of Proverbs, the 11th chapter and the 9th verse. It says, evil words destroy friends. Wise, deceitful, rescues the godly. Proverbs 15:4 says, gentle words. You know what I'm saying? Gentle words brings life and health. Deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. What I'm trying to tell you, sisters and brothers, is that things that we say out our mouths tend to come back and bite us. You know, it's like the old joke they gave one time about the young man finding a snake and took it home and nursed it back to good health. And he came home with it and couldn't find the snake. And he heard it hissing, and he looked up, and the snake was over the door ready to strike. And he said, you don't want to bite me? I'm the one that brought you back to good health. He said, you knew I was a snake when you brought me in. That's how deceitful words do. Deceitful words will make you do things and say things that you really shouldn't say. Deceitful words will make you put yourself in positions that you really shouldn't be caught up in. We should learn to live by gentleness. That's what God was about.
Mm-hmm.
Or should I say, that's what Jesus is about. The Bible says a gentle answer turns away wrath. Wrath is anger.
Yes.
It's madness. Come on here, bro. Tim, come on, bro. You didn't mean to get started. Come on here, bro. Tim.
You're doing good, D. I'm enjoying it. Thank you very much. I'm enjoying it. I just wanted to say, Brother D, I'm not going to be very long. This is getting ready to go into our holiday season. Thanksgiving just went away, and Christmas is on the way. You hear so many people say, well, is Christmas really the real day of Jesus' birthday? And I heard you try to explain it to them, Brother D, that whatever day we want to say that this is the day, we're doing it in spiritual love and reverence to him. And so what we're doing, just like I may work 6 days a week, but my only day off is a Monday, you know, and so that's my Sabbath day. So I want to tell my brothers and sisters and them, try not to let this commercialized Christmas that's coming out there get you all tangled up in debt. And just because people should love you, not because of the gifts that you give them, but because of the person that you are and the love that's down in your heart. And the heart, the love that you have for them. So gifts are great, but the expensive Christmas tree and all the shopping and all that, now you're in debt for the whole rest of the year because you want to prove to someone that you love them. If you really want to love them, love God, love yourself, and then you'll know how to love them. But don't let this commercialized season get you in trouble and get everything twisted around, because there's a lot of sad people that's around this time. They miss their loved ones and things have happened in their life. Let's try to cheer them up. Let's try to spread love and cheer and joy to those that may need it. And that is what I had to say today, Brother D. Back to you.
Amen. 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 Again, sisters and brothers, this is just our appetizer. We hope and trust that you will tune in tomorrow morning to God's plan. Listen to Brother Eric, Reverend Henry. Sometimes you'll hear my old crazy self over there, too. As we try to convey God's word to man, we're just a vessel. Just a vessel doing God's work. And for those that don't get enough in the morning, I make this promise to you. If you tune in tomorrow evening and it be God's will, Sister Miriam, Brother Tim, and myself, Brother Dog, we'll be right here. Amen? Amen. Amen. And tell God thank you. Just let me hear you all say it in spirit. If I can't hear you in voice, let me hear you in spirit. Just say thank God for Jesus. Come on here, Brother Dog. Come on here, Brother Dog.
All right. All of us. Okay. All right. Read your text, Brother D. I'm going on mute. Read your text, Brother D. Read your text. Y'all hold on for just a minute there. Y'all hold on just for a minute. I'm gonna have to ask for forgiveness instead of permission. I don't have to ask for permission. I gotta ask for forgiveness. Excuse me.
Hey, ladies.
Yeah.
I got a question.
What's that?
Hey, ladies.
Yeah.
I said I got a question.
What's that?
Can I ask you?
Yeah.
Who got the power?
I got it.
Who got the power?
I got the power.
Who got the power?
I want
to know. Tell me who got the power?
The coochie.
Hear me. Good coochie make a man leave his home. You make the same man come back home. Good coochie make a man leave his wife. Coochie make the same man lose his life. Oh, oh.
I got it.
Who got the power? I wanna know right now, y'all. Who's got it? Who got the power? Who got the power?
The coochie.
Who got the power?
I got the power.
I wanna know who got the power. Hear me out. Good coochie make a man walk in the rain. Coochie make the same man walk with pain. Good coochie make a man find a job. You make a man go out and rob. Who got the power?
I got the power.
Tell me who got the power? I wanna know. Who got the power?
I got the power.
Tell me who got the power? Who got the power?
The coochie.
Who got the power? I wanna know. Who got the power? Hear me out. Good coochie make a man buy a car. Coochie make the same man travel far. Good coochie make a man go out and cheat. Coochie make a man walk in the heat. Who got the power?
I
wanna know. Tell me who got the power?
The coochie.
Who got the power?
I got the power.
I wanna know who got the power.
Watch out, ladies. Don't y'all get soup now. Look out for part two here. Listen up, fellas. Women swear they got the power, fellas. Is it true?
Yeah.